Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We're studying the book of Acts, and we are in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 26. Now, you'll recall, if you've been studying with us, that the church was growing so rapidly that they needed some folks to help with logistics. They needed some people who could make sure that widows who had come into the church from the Hellenic background, the Greek background, were not being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. And so they chose seven who would serve and gave them the title of servant, which we bring over from the Greek as deacon. And so they gave them the title of servant. How would you like to be elevated to the position of servant? And that was their title. And two of the folks who were given that post within the church were Stephen, who promptly was martyred, and Philip, through whom God was doing miraculous things. Many people were coming to faith in Christ through his ministry. He was in a populated area, and he was seeing great results, wonderful things happening. So what did God do? He took him out of the populated area and put him in the middle of nowhere. He said, "Now an angel of the Lord," this is verse 26, where we begin our reading today. Acts chapter 8, verse 26, this is God's word. "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.' Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you are reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I?' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me.' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. 'He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth.' The eunuch asked Philip, 'Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?' Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?' And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. First thing I want you to see is that when Philip received the message of the Lord to leave what he was doing, which was a good thing, he wasn't doing something bad, he was doing a good thing, he was being used by God, his ministry was being validated by God, and God said, "I want you to go somewhere else." So he started out on a journey. Notice the instructions were, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. That's not much of a destination. Go down to the road. So he started out. And on his way, as he went, as he obeyed, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. Now, how do we know that? Well, because he didn't just meet him, they started talking. But there's another important element that fits with the first thing we saw about the Lord telling him to go somewhere else and his obeying. Please notice that when he sees the Ethiopian eunuch in the chariot, the Holy Spirit gives him instruction, and I want you to see how he obeyed. The man was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet, and the Spirit told Philip, verse 29, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. The Holy Spirit said, go, Philip ran. That's obedience. In our house, I once, just once, made a statement to one of my kids to whom I'd given instruction. I'd told him to get up from where he was and to go into the other room and do what I told him to do. And he said, yes, sir. But I watched his behavior. And my next statement was, I don't see movement. Okay? Well, that became a famous dadism. Okay? When I say, get up and do this, I'm now looking for movement. Okay? Don't just say, yes, sir, to me. Get up and move. So if I don't see movement, I don't see obedience. Philip ran. He ran. You say, well, the chariot was moving. If he was going to get next to the chariot, he had to run. Well, I know a lot of people who would have said, I'm sorry, he's got a chariot and all I've got are my feet. Could you please get me a horse or something? Could God have given this man a horse? Sure. But God wanted obedience from Philip. And Philip gave obedience. He ran up to the chariot. And he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. The man is reading this out loud. And as he's reading it, Philip asks a very good question. Do you understand what you are reading? Did you know it's possible to recite the Apostles' Creed week after week after week after week and not have a clue what you're saying? As you study the Scriptures, do you understand what you're reading? Or might this just as well be in another language? If you don't know the author, it's a lot harder to understand the letter. But if you come to understand that God is speaking to us and that this is the message of his love and that it's all about Jesus, it points to him. It all points to him. And you won't find a text that does much better at illustrating that point than this passage right here. Whatever you're reading, Old Testament or New, it's about Jesus. It's pointing you to him. It's teaching you to know him more. It's teaching you to trust him. It's teaching you to obey him. It's being used by God to renew your mind so that your life will be transformed so that increasingly, as we read in 1 John, we're going to be conformed to his likeness. As we read in Philippians, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, even being made conformable to his death. That's the goal. We want to be made like him. We want to be conformed to the likeness of Christ.
We hope you are blessed by Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. We would like to get to know you better and hope you will take a short survey at pastorwood.org. It will only take a minute or two. Every week, we will draw a few names from those listeners who take this survey. They will be offered a free book of their choosing that is listed at pastorwood.org. We truly hope all our listeners will take this survey. Please visit our website at pastorwood.org and take our survey today.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown. known where Jesus is, and he's holding out his hand.
So, he says, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch answers, how can I, unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? And the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Why was Philip there? He was there because the Spirit of God had sent him. Why did the Spirit of God send him there? Because the Holy Spirit was working in this eunuch's heart to prepare him. He'd gotten him the Scriptures. He'd led him to the right passage. He arranged the timing. If you think that when you're seeking to share the gospel with people, you're just out there on your own, good luck. God's going to check in with you at the end of the week to see how you did. You do not understand how this works. We are simply a piece of the puzzle that God is putting together for his glory. And God, the Holy Spirit, prompted this fellow to be at that place in Isaiah and to have that question and to ask Philip, and he had Philip there to answer. And what does Philip say? This is perfect. This is an example for us of what we need to be prepared to do. Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. He was led by the Holy Spirit to start right where the man was, and the man was already in the Scriptures. The man was already a worshiper of God. The man was already someone who was seeking. And so he started right there with that man, where he was, and he began to explain how all of it pointed to Jesus. Not just this passage in Isaiah, but all the Scriptures are introducing Jesus. And so he gave him the good news about Jesus. Does the world hear good news from us? I wonder how much of the time what we have to say about Jesus is presented as good news. Now, we need to be honest with people and not keep it all sunshine and peach punch. We need to be honest about the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that those who are in rebellion against him and refuse his offer of peace will be destroyed. That's a part of the message. But folks, if we never get around to the fact that God loved us so much, when we were his enemies, he loved us so much that he sent his son. That Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but so that through him the world might be saved. If we're not clear about that, if we're not conveying to people the love of God in Christ Jesus, we are not being faithful in proclaiming the good news. It is good news. Now, I want to be balanced. I want to be biblical. Let me clarify. According to Scripture, according to Jesus, we should expect that there are going to be lots of people who are going to reject us, oppose us, mock us, even persecute us. So don't think that we've got to just kind of change the message into whatever shape it needs to take in order that we can say to people, nothing offensive, everything friendly. That's why we're here, is so that you can feel good. No. We have a responsibility to proclaim the truth, and the truth is amazingly good news for those who believe. It's good news for those who believe. But it's still the truth, even for those who don't believe, even for those who reject it, even for those who deny Christ, even for those who right now are refusing to bow the knee. We should not pretend to be their judges. Because remember, Saul of Tarsus heard the gospel, rejected it, and became an enemy persecuting the church. And God said, that's not the end of the story. And God miraculously reached down and saved him. Who would have thunk it? Not me. But God did. God said, I can use a fellow like that. Just going to have to shake him up a little first. And God did what it took. Turned him around. So don't ever presume that because we see people who've heard the gospel and rejected it, we can write them off. No. What we can do is continue to obey God, trust in him, and do what he tells us. And that's what Philip was doing. So, Philip shared the good news about Jesus. And then we come to another important part of the story. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Now, I mean, I could have answered that. I'd say, well, you know, I mean, it's not in a church. You know, you're supposed to be baptized into a local fellowship, and you know, this clearly is not, I don't see anything around here with a steeple on it. I mean, we've just met him. We're just riding along together in the chariot. We've only really had one significant conversation. I don't think that's good preparation for baptism, is it? Well, God did. And so when the eunuch asked, why shouldn't I be baptized? The eunuch gave orders to stop the chariot, and he and Philip went down into the water, and he was baptized. Now, why is that? Why did they go down into the water so that he could be baptized? It's because they knew what the word baptism means. Okay? And if you were a Jew, or if you spoke Greek, you would know that baptism involves going under the water. Well, now, Pastor, you just say that because of your Baptist background. John Gill quotes John Calvin regarding verses 38 and 39. Hence we see what was the manner of baptizing with the ancients, for they plunged the whole body into water. That from John Calvin. But I want you to understand something. I'm not saying you have to be baptized in water by immersion in order to go to heaven. I'm simply saying you need to be baptized in water by immersion in order to be baptized. There's a difference. All right? And Calvin is saying, well, yeah, that was the original way. And my question is, well, then why wouldn't we want to do it the original way? If that's what the Jews did and that's what the Greeks do, the Greeks still do that. When they're baptizing babies, they dunk them under the water because they know what the word means. So why not do it that way? Philip baptized this fellow the way that Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. He baptized him the way that all of Jesus' disciples were baptized, and in the way that they all went out and baptized others. So, Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, it says, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. What does that mean? The Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away? If you were to look in 1 Kings chapter 18 and in 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 16 or in Ezekiel 8 or in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you'd find reference to something that we don't talk about very much. But it's God's ability to take somebody in their physical body and move them instantaneously to some other place. In Ezekiel's case, he describes something like the form of a hand taking hold of his hair and lifting him up between earth and heaven and enabling him to see in a vision things that were going on elsewhere. In Paul's case, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says, I don't know if this guy was in the body or out of the body. And the consensus is he's talking about himself. Not sure exactly what happened here, but caught up into the heavens. But in 1 Kings and 2 Kings, talking about Elijah, apparently one of the things that happened from time to time with Elijah is you might be having a meeting with him and all of a sudden he's gone. And he shows up somewhere else. I don't think we ought to include that in our PR packets. Because it's just kind of, you know, over the top. The only reason I'm talking about it at all this morning is because it's in the text. What we have is that God, the Holy Spirit, chose on this singular occasion to take a man from where he was and to put him somewhere else by a means not described, but where he instantaneously disappears from one place and appears somewhere else. No other detail given. So let me suggest some things for our consideration. First of all, this is not typical Holy Spirit behavior. This is extraordinary stuff, and it's recorded as miraculous stuff. Secondly, I want you to see this was not one of the apostles. This was a deacon. About as close as we would get to what we'd call an ordinary Christian. And God chose on this singular occasion to do something that we have no reason to believe he did another time in this man's life. There's no indication that Philip saw it coming. There is every indication that this was very unusual. But folks, if you don't believe that God can do as he chooses, then you don't know him very well. If God wants to take me right now and put me in India and enable me to speak in a language that I haven't learned, God can do that. God can do it now. Well, no, actually, since the completion of the canon, nothing like that ever happens anymore. Well, you're mistaken. Actually, God does still do miraculous things. This ministry is testimony to God miraculously answering prayer on innumerable occasions. But I want you to understand something. He's the one who's in control. He's the one who's in charge. He does as he wills, when he wills. And this particular miracle was not for the glory of Philip. It was for the glory of God. And it was to accomplish God's purpose, which was that Philip needed to be somewhere else. And when Philip got there, I want you to look at what he did. It says he traveled about preaching the gospel. In other words, God supernaturally enabled him to get somewhere else where the need was still the same. Same as it was with the Ethiopian eunuch, the same as it was back in Samaria, the same as it is in Ware's Valley, the same as it is in Washington, D.C., the same as it is everywhere on the planet. People need the good news about Jesus Christ. And so that's what he did. He traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Folks, what are we supposed to be doing? Your goal is to do whatever God tells you, even if it means leaving a situation that looks good in order to go to a situation that seems questionable, and you are ready to run when the Spirit says go, then I would submit to you that you will be greatly used by God in his time, in his way. Don't worry about transportation. God will handle that. You just obey.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.